朋友，你在收听的是活在耶稣里网站提供的福乐人生讲坛。今天的讲员是李秀全牧师。愿神的话语滋润你的心田，使你能更好地认识神和认识自己，并坚定地信靠神。
谢谢许多弟兄姊妹的关心，在过去两个礼拜听完我上次讲道以后都关心我，然后很多人都问我，都跟我讲一句话，李牧师，大难不死必有后福。
After I shared with you 2 weeks ago, there were many phone calls, many people gave me comfort, saying that since you didn't die in this accident, tremendous blessings will follow.
我在想，我有什么福？
And so I thought to myself, what kind of blessings would come upon me?
我活着第一个福就是还是有机会抱孙子的福。
Perhaps the first blessing is since I'm still alive,Maybe I can have the blessing of holding a grandchild.
我很认真地回到圣经里面，回到主的话，思想到底神会给我什么福。
So I paid attention to the scriptures and I tried to look out from the word of God, what are the blessings that I can look forward to?
每一次我想到大难不死必有后福的这句话的时候，我马上联想到的是使徒行传20:35.
I was drawn to Acts chapter 20, verse 35.
那个地方，保罗说，你们要记得主的话说，施比受更为有福。
There Paul reminded us of what the Lord Jesus himself said, that it is more blessed to give than to receive.
我十分的相信主留我们夫妇今天还在地上，让我们享受这一个施比受更为有福的福气。
I truly believe that the grace of God came upon us and allow us to continue to live so that we can learn to give than to receive.
让我们想到真正基督徒的福气不是接受，真正基督徒的福气是给出去。
That the true Christian blessing is not to receive but to give.
不错，在过去这两个礼拜，每一次我们想到这件事情，起码对我个人来说，再一次把自己奉献给主，把自己放在祭坛上。
Yes, every time when I think back upon this incident in the past 2 weeks, I would rededicate myself to the Lord.
你让我在大难的里面没有死，丝毫未损。神，你在我身上必然有那更高的目的，你要继续使用我。
Yes, Lord, you have allowed me to pass through this accident without.Dying, you must have a higher call for me.
对于我们今年年底、明年出去做宣教士的工作，我们再一次肯定，这是主在我们身上的带领。
We feel that this is an affirmation that God is leading us towards the road of being missionaries.
我也相信，借助这件事情，让弟兄姊妹更看见我们的牧师应该今天不在，但是因着神的怜悯。他今天还留着，让我们跟他一起配搭，一起同心，一起来侍奉主。
And my wish is that for you all is that you realize that the Lord has allowed us to live so that we can together serve Him better.
今年的主题福音，神的大能。
The theme for this year is the gospel is the power of God.
请我们翻回刚才于弟兄带我们一起念的罗马书第一章。
So let us turn back to the first chapter.Of Romans.
很清楚的第一章十六节是我们今年主题圣经的出处。
Verse 16 is where our theme is taken from.
而且罗马书一章十六节也是整本罗马书的钥匙。
In fact, verse 16 is the key verse to the whole book of Romans.
因着保罗所宣告的这神的大能的福音可以给我们看到整本罗马书所强调的信息是什么。
Because Paul proclaimed here that the gospel is the power of God, he reminded us throughout this book what he is trying to convey.
从13-17, 我们过去曾经用过3次来提到福音有关的信息。
We have shared from verse 13-17 3 times upon this theme.
13节讲到传福音的方法。
In verse 13, we talked about the method of the gospel.
保罗很稀奇用结果子来描写，来提醒罗马教会传福音应该用什么样的方法。
He used the analogy of harvesting fruit to remind us of the method of the gospel.
其实保罗在这里用结果子，不只是讲到方法，也提到传福音的哲学，提到传福音的态度。
Indeed, not only did he share about the method, he talked about the philosophy and the attitude of the gospel.
这个传福音的哲学是什么？
What is this philosophy?
我觉得我们今天对传福音有负担的人，我们应当常常这样提醒我们自己。
For those of us who are burdened to share the gospel, I think we need to remind us continually.
结果子第一是要付代价的。
To harvest fruit, we need to pay the price.
原来我再强调一遍，今天我们做神的工作，我们不能不付代价。
Allow me to reiterate this point.For us to do the work of God, we need to pay the price.
我们需要金钱，我们需要物质。
We need money and material things.
但是我们更需要属灵，神所给我们的一些现在他面前的一些礼物。我们需要关心，我们需要爱心，我们需要忍耐，我们需要更多的代祷。
Of course, we also need prayer. We need patience. We need waiting upon the Lord.
所以结果是要付代价，这个道理是很清楚。
So it's very clear that to bear fruit, we need to pay the price.
而且在这里，我们再次也看到果子的本身，给我们看见它的再生力的这一个提醒。
And the idea of the fruit reminds us that there's the life to be born.
因为果子的里面，果子的本身存着生命的那一个种子在里面。
Because the seed in the fruit is the seed of life.
一个真基督徒，他必然会带人信主。
A true Christian will lead others to Christ.
弟兄姊妹，我越准备这篇信息
，as I was preparing this message，
我越心里面有一个很重的负担。
I have a very heavy burden in my heart.
如果在过去一年、三年、五年，从你信主到今天
，if in your past Christian walk, whether it be 1, 3, 5, 10 years，
从来没有一个人直接或者间接因为你而信耶稣。
If no one has come to know the Lord through you directly or indirectly,
我对你这一个果子实在不能不给予一些爱心的担心。
I have to be then somewhat concerned about your life.
因为一个信耶稣的人
because one who believes in Christ
是一个结出来的果子
is a fruit that was born.
一个果子是有再生力的
and the fruit can regenerate its life.
不是你这个果子有问题，就是你根本不是那个果子。
Either there's some problems with this fruit, or perhaps this is not the fruit at all.
事实上，传福音不需要牧师在台上大声疾呼，鼓励大家才出去传。
Indeed, to share the gospel really shouldn't need the preaching from the pulpit.
传福音，弟兄姊妹，原来我再说一遍，传福音不是你我的选择，这是上帝的命令。
The sharing of the gospel is not.Something that we can choose to do, it is a command of God.
有人说我是基督徒了，但是我不是那么正常、那么好、那么健康、那么刚强的基督徒。
And some may respond that yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a normal Christian. I'm not very healthy spiritual.
那你问他什么叫做 healthy spiritual Christian? 那他就说像那个人，因为他常常带人信主，因为他结果子。
So if you ask them, well, then what is your definition of a healthy, normal Christian? He may point to another person saying, well, he leads others to Christ.
严格地说，基督徒只有是基督徒，不是基督徒。老实说，没有那种中间，在中间路线的骑墙派那种基督徒。
If you analyze this, you can either be a Christian or you are not a Christian. There's really nothing in between.
所以，当我在准备的时候，我实在很严肃地想到这个问题。
So as I was preparing this message, I have to face this question seriously.
我想到牧师。
What about me as the pastor?
我想到长老。
What about the elders?
我想到执事。
What about the deacons?
我不敢再想下去。
I was frightened to go on.
因为这一些我们在神面前好像被看为领袖的人。
Because these who are considered leaders in the church,
我们今天在传福音的事上，我们有许多的地方值得再来检讨。
Perhaps need to evaluate their own lives in the work of the gospel.
求主给我们这样的一个心里深处的向神的一个呼喊。
I wish that God will give us this crying from the bottom of our heart.
主啊，让我成为一个结果子的人。
Lord, make me one who will bear fruit.
原来我再说一遍。
Allow me to say it again.
如果在过去这些年间
If in your past Christian walk,
神没有在你的身上直接的或者间接的因着你而信耶稣的话
If there are no people who have come to the Lord either through you directly or indirectly,
弟兄姊妹，我们不要看别人，我们要开始好好的扪心自问，自己检讨，我是一个什么样的基督徒。
Then we should evaluate ourselves and ask the question, what kind of Christian am I?
我们在教会里面再把时间摆进，再花时间在里面，或者再把金钱献上，都不能代替这一个结果子的这一个神给我们的基督徒的责任。
It doesn't matter how much more time you put into the church, how much more offering you give to the church. This is perhaps the most fundamental thing of being a Christian.
十四节、十五节讲到动机。
In verse 14 and 15, we're told about the motivation.
保罗用欠债来讲。
Paul used the analogy of being in debt.
讲到欠债，又给我们看到同样的道理：传福音不是我们选择的。
So again, we are taught that.This is not something we can choose.
你已经欠了人的债，你没有别的选择，只有一条路就是还债。
You are in debt, so you have no choice but to pay the debt.
或者另外一条路就是不还债，然后逃债，逃掉。
Or perhaps you say, well, I could try to escape from my debtor.
今天有许多的基督徒在走的路不是还债的路，是一条逃债的路。
And indeed, many Christians are not walking on the way of repaying the debt, but rather escaping from it.
所以当保罗提到动机的时候
So when Paul told us about his motivation,
提醒我们他是尽他的力量，没有别的选择，他只有把自己摆上去还这个福音的债。
He reminds us that there's no choice for him but to repay.
那么上一次我也提到传福音的文化的问题。
Last time I shared about the question of culture or context in gospel.
有不少弟兄姊妹在那一方面也有一些回应。
I've heard much comments and response from that sermon.
今天我没有时间多讲，不过我希望弟兄姊妹以后多思想传福音和福音传福音和文化的关系。
But I do wish that more of us will reconsider the question of the gospel and culture.
我们很感动，戴德生在一百多年前到中国内地传福音的时候。
We're all moved about how Hudson Taylor came to the inland of China some 100 years ago to share the gospel.
他穿长袍马褂，留了一条长的辫子。
He wore the clothes of the Chinese and he wove his hairstyle into that of a Chinese.
因为他知道这里有文化的问题在。
Because he knew there is a question of culture.
所以在文化上他跟中国人认同。
So he identified culturally with the Chinese.
从1807年 Robert Morrison 把福音传到今天187年来。
It has been almost 187 years since Robert Morrison first landed in China.
有许多的宣教士努力。跟中国人认同，在文化上认同。
There were many missionaries that tried to identify culturally with the Chinese.
但是一直到今天，还有许多的中国人称基督教为洋教。
But even till today, many Chinese still consider Christianity a foreign religion.
弟兄姊妹，这是一个非常严肃的一个问题。
This is a serious question.
穿衣服留辫子很好，但是还不够。
Yes, it's very good for you to wear the Chinese clothes and to have their hairstyle, but that's not enough.
一方面，我们知道这一百多年来，中国人对基督教有一些主观的误会。
True, there were some misunderstanding from the part of the Chinese about Christianity.
有一次，我看到一本历史家所写的一个中国近代史。
For example, I recently read a historian's account of the modern Chinese history.
非常强烈的说，今天西方有两样东西。是在十九世纪的时候，乘着西方人的船坚炮利带进中国来的。
This historian stressed that in the 19th century, two things were brought into China along with the gunboat diplomacy.
第一件是什么呢
？What is the first thing?
鸦片
，opium.
鸦片是因着船坚炮利而带到中国来的。
Opium was brought to China through the gunboat.
第二件事情是什么东西呢
？What is the second thing?
宣教士
missionaries.
他们说宣教士是乘坐船坚炮利而来到中国的。
So this historian claimed that the missionaries came aboard the gunboats.
所以今天基督教被称为文化的侵略，有它的时代和历史的背景。
So some have said Christianity is a cultural invasion.
但是弟兄姊妹，不能不好好的扪心自问，我们自己检讨，中国人对基督教有误会，中国的基督徒也在这一方面有许多的忽略。
But perhaps instead of rebutting the historian, we should reconsider ourselves. Yes, there are many misunderstandings from the part of the Chinese, but what is the impact from the Chinese Christians?
我们今天接受的基督教是穿上西方文化外衣的一个基督教。
Perhaps we have accepted a Christianity that bears the outward manifestation of Western civilization.
我觉得这是一个很大的课题。
I believe this is a very big topic.
有一本书叫《基督与文化》。
There is a book called Christ and Culture.
那么这本书是相当好关于文化这个话题的一本古典的一本创作。
It is indeed a very important text.
那本书里面提到基督与文化的关系。
Talks about the relation between Christ and culture.
基督超越文化。
Christ transcends culture.
基督低于文化。
Yet Christ also came under culture.
基督在文化的里面。
And Christ in culture.
文化在基督的里面。他一共分成这四个重点来讨论基督教与文化的关系。
And lastly, he concluded with how the culture goes through Christ.
我们没有时间多讲。
But we do not have time to analyze this.
我们今天讲福音的第三个 M。
But today we need to talk about the third M of the gospel.
我们讲了方法。
We talked about the method.
我们讲了动机。
We talked about motivation.
我们现在讲信息。
Now we need to pay attention to the message.
我们知道古时候电讯不发达。
We know that in the olden times, they cannot send telegraphs.
如果有紧急的消息要从这一个地方传到远方的时候。
If there were an important piece of news,to be sent from one place to another.
他们要靠人力或者靠马力。
They have to depend on runners or horse riders.
以前有这样一个故事。
There was once this story.
有一个信差从前线要把一个消息带到大后方。
There was this messenger coming back from the front line.
他骑的是最快的千里马。
He was riding a very fast horse.
方法。
This is the method.
然后呢，带着一个极迫切的负担。
He was very burdened for this message.
这是动机。
This was his motivation.
他已经累得不得了，跑回京城的时候。
But he was exhausted by the time he reached the city.
这些人围着他，问他到底你从前方带什么消息过来。
So all the people surrounded him and said, "What kind of message did you bear from the front line?"
他骑了千里马来。
He came on this fast horse.
带着沉重的负担来。
He has a tremendous burden.
当很多人围着他的时候，他突然说：“他说我忘记了。”
But then when people asked him about the message, he said, "I forgot."
这是个讽刺性的笑话。
Perhaps this is humorous.
我不相信有这样的一件事情。
I do not believe this.
我觉得这个人太傻太笨。
I believe this is such a foolish person.
但是这样一个现象，今天可能发生在教会里面。
And yet the same story could happen in the church.
这是什么时代呢?
What is our age?
是讲究效率的时代。
This is an age of efficiency.
是我们提高方法带来的好效率。
So we pay attention to the method increasing our efficiency.
在最近三四十年来,
In the past 30, 40 years,
在西方神学院强调 church growth theology, 教会增长的这样的一个神学。
In many Western church seminaries, they emphasize the concept of church growth.
讲究方法。
They pay attention to the method.
讲究节目。
The program.
讲究气氛。
The atmosphere.
讲究音乐。
The music.
讲究整个教会的组织制度和结构。
The organization of the church.
这是好的。
These are all good.
而且这个时代是什么呢？是看重目的。我们常常说我们要设立一个可量性的目标 ,measurable goal.
This is an age also that pays much attention to goals and measurable goals.
让我们说知道我们要达到什么目标，我们盼望一年有多少人信主，这都是好的。
We want to set up a goal, for example, how many people should be led to the Lord every year, and this is good.
但是保罗提醒我们。
But Paul is reminding us.
方法好。
Method is good.
动机对。
Motivation is right.
但是千万不要因此而牺牲了信息。
But we do not want to sacrifice the message along the way.
我们一起看十六节。
Let us pay attention to verse 16.
保罗在这里提到他心里面的负担。
Paul is sharing from his heart here.
他在这里说我不以福音为耻，这福音本是神的大能，要救一切相信的，先是犹太人，后是希利尼人。
He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles.
这节圣经分成明显的两部分。
You can see there are two parts to this verse.
第一部分是我不以福音为耻。
The first part is, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
第二部分，这福音是什么，是什么，是什么。
And then he continued to talk about the gospel itself.
第一段上半节，保罗对福音的态度和感受。
So the first part of this verse tells us about the attitude of Paul towards the gospel.
第二段讲到保罗对福音的解释和宣讲。
The second part is his explanation about the gospel.
保罗对福音的态度是什么呢？
What is Paul's attitude towards God?
保罗说我不以福音为耻。
He says that I am not ashamed of the gospel.
弟兄姊妹，请注意一件事情。
Let's pay attention to this.
为什么保罗在这里用负面来表明他的那个感受？
Why did Paul use a negative approach to his attitude of the gospel?
为什么保罗不说我以福音为荣，这福音本是神的大能，要救一切相信的，先是犹太人，后是希利尼人？
Why didn't Paul say, I am proud of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone?
这节圣经我们都很熟。
We are all familiar with this verse.
我们常常用这节圣经放在我们的祷告里面。
And very often we use this verse in our prayers.
主啊，我们不以福音为耻。
Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel.
但是我们有没有从来想过，为什么保罗用不以福音为耻，而不用我以福音为荣来表达他的感受？
But have we ever stopped and considered why did Paul start this with a negative slant?
我觉得我不以福音为耻这句话有很深很深的教训。
Perhaps there are very deep lessons to be learned here.
每次我们想到这节圣经，我们第一个联想到的是什么呢？
When we think of this verse, what is the first thing that we associate this with?
朋友，你收听的是福乐人生讲坛的系列节目。我是玛丽姐妹，很高兴你的收听，也盼望你的来信。如果你还没有相信主耶稣，请到活在耶稣里施工网站的首页，点击永生之道，理解耶稣真理，今天就相信主耶稣，从而享受主内新生命的永生祝福。